3, and it says, "And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory." So there is so much meat just in this one verse, because we are vessels of mercy. We are vessels, earthen vessels, the Bible calls us. Another translation of earthen vessels is jars of clay. A muddy piece of dirt would be a good, and that's really all we are. But because we are vessels of mercy, of his mercy, then we are special because of that, and he prepared us unto his glory. And the Bible says that he might make known the riches of his glory. Now, what does that mean, the riches of his glory? Well, we understand the glory of God. I mean, if you've ever read the book of Revelation, particularly, I think it's chapter 5, known as the throne room of the universe, we see the glory of God. We see the cherubims and the seraphims and the 24 elders, and we see the sea of glass and the streets of gold, and we are enraptured by this glorious scene, and yet that is the riches of his glory that awaits all of us. Amen. Us vessels of mercy. Romans chapter 10, verse 12 says, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him." And that statement, that's the word we're focusing on, the riches of God. He's rich unto all that call upon him. So, you know, you may meet someone that says, "Well, you know, I used to be a Christian, but, you know, I blew it, and God couldn't forgive me, and you don't know the things I've done." Well, they're assuming that God has a limit and that your sin can bankrupt God's mercy. But it says that he's rich to all that call upon him. He's filthy rich in mercy. You can't bankrupt God's riches, and you can call upon the Lord no matter what you've done, and he's still rich in mercy toward you and me. Amen. He's filthy rich. My Father in heaven is very rich to those that call upon him. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? And don't you love the way Paul's rationale? I'm going to keep going through these. Like I said, I've got a few verses. Romans 11:33. "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How deep is the riches of the knowledge and the wisdom of God? How deep is it? I mean, you know, sometimes people say, "Well, I've read my Bible. I'm just not getting anything out of it. I read the same things, and they're good." But, you know, you're not reading it to the level that you need to read it at, because in there are the depths of the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. We're not talking about man's knowledge. We're talking about God's knowledge. And how unsearchable are his judgments, he says. They are so deep. They are so glorious. 1 Corinthians 1:5, "That in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge." And so we see that his riches enrich us as we seek the face of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 8:9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that through his poverty you might be rich." And so we see God, Jesus was in heaven with God. And the Bible says at the appointed time, God sent forth his Son. And so Jesus had to shed the riches of his glory that he knew with the Father from the beginning of time. And he became poor And his exchange of his richness for his poverty as a mortal man then brought about his riches unto us. And that, as the Bible says, that we don't know what it's like in heaven, but we know that when we see him in his glory, we will be like him. We will have that richness that he once had with the Father, that he shed to become poor. And by doing that, we will inherit the riches of the glory of heaven and all that come with it for those that believe. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your poverty that has brought us the riches of God. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. And so, again, how much, you know, is God's grace limited? Can you sin away God's grace? Well, he's rich in grace. You can't bankrupt him. You can't out-sin the riches of God's grace. Hallelujah! That's good news. For all of us flawed people like me, that's really good news. That's great news. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1:18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance to the saints. I love to think about my inheritance through Christ. You know, an inheritance is not anything you have to do. You just have to be in the will of the benefactor. Amen. And I've read his last will and testament, and it's in his blood, not in my works. And I'm glad that I am a candidate for the inheritance of the saints. It's not just my inheritance, it's yours. It's the communist Christians in communist China's. It's those that were martyred by ISIS of the last 2 years. It is the inheritance of the saints, and it is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And so when the saints go marching in, I'm going to be in that number, and we're going to be singing the shouts and the praises of Almighty God. And we're going to be singing it because of the riches of the glory of his inheritance to the saints. Thank God. Ephesians 2:4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Now that's not a complete sentence, but I have to stop it there. Because again, his mercy. Mercy is the unmerited favor of God. Mercy is, I've stung the heart of God like an ant stinging someone, and just as someone's thumb could crush an ant, God could certainly crush me for my sins. And I know I have stung his heart more than once. And sometimes when we have stung God's heart through our sins more than once, especially those times when we say, God, I don't want to ever do that again, and then we do it again, then the devil tells us, well, who are you to ask for God to forgive you again? Who are you to ask God for mercy? You have sinned away the mercies of God by continuing to do the thing you tell God you're never going to do. And if you listen to the devil, you can get pretty down, and you can agree with him. You're right, man. Who am I to ask God for mercy? And then we read that God is rich in mercy. That he's filthy rich in mercy. And that he doesn't run out of mercy because of my sin. He's rich in mercy. He's the Bill Gates of mercy. He's got more mercy in his pinky than I will ever need in all of my sins. He's rich in mercy, and I can come to him regardless of how many times I fail him, and he will lovingly be waiting to bestow the riches of the mercies of God on me. I can never bankrupt God's mercy. He is rich in mercy. Hallelujah to God. That's some good news, isn't it? That's some good word. Praise God. Ephesians 2:7, in the ages that come, the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. In the ages to come. When I try to comprehend the riches of God's grace and mercy, it's hard for me to comprehend it. Back, we mentioned Johnny Carson in Sunday school. One of the things I remember from the old Johnny Carson show, and you know, as a kid growing up watching TV, because that's what kids do, in our days, many of our days, we remember around here in the Tulsa area, 2, 6, 8, and 11. That was your choices. And you didn't have a lot of viewing choices like you have today, although I have to say, There are not a lot of choices, in my opinion, even though we have more channels. But on the old Johnny Carson show, when they would break for a commercial, they would have a little slide they would show, and it would say, more to come. How many of you guys remember that? Little slide, more to come. In other words, stay with us through the commercial. There's more Johnny Carson after this word from our sponsors. Now, when I read Ephesians 2:7, then in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. What God is saying is, you think this is good, there's more to come. You haven't even begun to see the riches of my grace, because after all of this mercy and after all of this grace and after I keep you and show you my love, and you breathe your last breath or you're raptured up, then you ain't seen nothing yet. Because you're going to experience the true riches of my grace when you experience the joy and the peace of heaven that I have prepared for you. Amen. Ephesians 3:8, unto me, who am the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And you know, really, we want to see loved ones saved. But my goodness, if we could just show them the unsearchable riches of Christ, a richness that you could never fully know, that's so deep, how great is that? God's love, God's love, God's boundless love, that God would love a sinner such as I. How wonderful is love like that? Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. And so we see that my strength comes from the riches of his glory. And Paul, in fact, when Paul was referring to the rapture and what awaits us in heaven, he says, comfort one another with these words. You know, as we begin to think about the riches of God's glory, that's what strengthens us in our inner man. That's what gives us strength to go on. Is like, no, there's more to it than this. You may be suffering now. You may be frustrated now. You may be discouraged now. But hold on, you're going to experience the riches of God's glory someday. And that strengthens us in our inner man. Philippians 4:19. I love this verse, not just because of the verse, but because of the context. Paul wrote Philippians while he was in a Philippi jail. You can read about it in the book of Acts. And in that jail, he says, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And so, here's a man who's in jail. Here's a man who never knows when he's going to have his head removed from his shoulders. And we think we have problems, but you know, when Satan is breathing on your neck, it doesn't matter whether you're physically in jail or not. We know what it feels like to be under the attack of the wicked one. But God is rich in supply. Amen. When I was in the Air Force in Abilene, Texas, as a clerk, you can pretty much be assigned any kind of squadron. When I was in Omaha, I was in a weather detachment. When I was in Abilene, Texas, I worked in a supply squadron. And they provided supplies for the entire base. When we got the first B-1B bomber, we were the first base to get the B-1B when it was new. The engines were so powerful, they were sucking rivets out of the wings and destroying the $1.2 million engines every time they did it. At one time, we had three $1.2 million engines on the dock of the supply squadron. That's over $3 million in three things. That's a lot of money. I can't help imagine what God's dock looks like in heaven. What is sitting on the dock in heaven waiting for me? The angels say, hey, what's the invoice on this blessings times a billion here? That's waiting for a little pastor in Tahlequah. He needs it, and God is going to supply all his needs according to the riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. And so the hope of the glory of God from his riches is Christ in me. We talked a little about that in Sunday school, how the most important thing is Christ in me, and everything else takes care of itself. That's the riches that God wants us to have. You want to know what the glory of God is? Christ in you is the glory of God. And it is attainable by God's mercy and grace. Colossians 2:2, that their hearts may be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ. The Bible says that his riches are the full assurance. The full assurance. What? You ever say, well, how do you know Jesus is the way? How do you know the Muslims aren't right? How do you know this? Because we have the riches of the full assurance. It's more than religion. We feel God's love. We feel his presence. His Holy Spirit dwells within us. And it is the riches of the full assurance of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. God's word dwelling in me richly is so important. God dwells in you richly today because you believe. Now, the Bible does have other things to say about riches. We really hammered that home, and we understand that that's all I need is Jesus in me, the riches of God's grace and mercy and love, the glory of God. But the Bible also talks about the riches of the world versus the riches of God. In 1 Timothy 6:9, it says, but they that will be rich fall into temptations and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. And so we understand that the riches of the world is really not the answer. And in 1 Timothy 6:17, it says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. And so we're thankful. America is probably the richest it's ever been. I watched a documentary a few weeks ago about A.P. Carter, the man who was the father and grandfather of June Carter. And they were very poor in those days, but they relied on music. They kept their eyes on the Lord, amen. And today, by those standards, we're millionaires compared to the poverty that many people experienced after the crash and then the depression. But what we have materially is not the answer. In fact, if we trust in it, it's called uncertain riches, because it can be here today and be gone tomorrow. And so we must keep our eye on the Lord. Amen. Hebrews 11:26 tells us about Moses, who esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. And so Moses got it. He understood. He walked away from the riches of Egypt for the poverty of God, understanding that the poverty of God was greater riches than all of Egypt. Amen. James warns us, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he fades away. For the sun is no sooner risen with burning heat, but it withers as grass, and the flowers thereof fade, and the grace of the fashion of it perishes. So also the rich man fades away. You know, the stuff that we have today, if they're not burned up in the coming fires of judgment, will become some other person someday. We don't get to take it with us. Amen. It's just temporary. In James 2:5, hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he had promised to them that love him? And James 5:1, go now, howl, you rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupt and your garments are moth-eaten. And truly, it's all going to burn. It's all going to burn. I remember when I first got saved, I had a good friend of mine, Jim Dunn, and that was what he would say. It's all going to burn. I remember when my gremlin was acting up and I couldn't get it started, and he and I, two young men that didn't know what we were doing, were trying to get it started. And he goes, well, Raj, don't feel bad about it. It's all going to burn. What are you talking about? My gremlin, man. It's all going to burn. It's going to burn. Incidentally, Jim laid hands on it, and it started turning over without anybody hitting the starter. I think the starter was stuck, but it was pretty impressive. Revelation 2:9, Jesus speaking. He says, I know your works and tribulation and poverty, but you're rich. I know the blasphemy of them which say they're Jews and they're not, but of the synagogue of Satan. You know, God knows our true riches. The world may look at us and say, well, he doesn't have anything. He's nothing by standards of this world. And Jesus looks at us and says, I know your tribulation, and I know the poverty, and I know what you're going through, but you're rich. Jesus says, but you're rich. But Lord, I don't have this. I got debt up to my teeth, Lord. I got two mortgage payments, two car payments. Yeah, but you're rich. You got me. You're rich. Revelation 3:17, Jesus rebuking the last day church. Because you say, I'm rich and increased in goods and have need of nothing, yet know not that you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel of you to buy of me gold tried in the furnace, that you may be rich, and white raiment, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness do not appear, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. I asked the Lord one time, I said, this is a great verse, Lord, but I don't even understand it. How can I buy gold from you? And the Lord said, we buy by spending. Spend some time with me. Okay, I got it. And so here Jesus is saying to the last day church, you say you're really well off. You say you got money in the bank and you really don't need anything, but without me, you're wretched and blind and miserable and poor and naked. And he says, then let me give you some advice. Spend time with me, and then you'll be rich. Then you'll be clothed. The last verse, come on up, Nola. This was a lot quicker than I thought. The last verse, Revelation 5:12, the angel saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And of course, Jesus is the Lamb, and he was slain. He was slain to receive power. He was slain to receive riches. He was slain to receive wisdom and strength and honor. He was slain to receive glory. He was slain to receive blessings. Now, what is it you desire this morning? What is it you need in your life? Maybe you need power to overcome the devil. Jesus has it. He's rich. Maybe you need wisdom. The Bible says, if any man lack that wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally. He's rich in wisdom. Maybe you need strength. Well, he was slain to receive strength. Jesus is the strongest man in the universe. Think about it. Maybe you need honor, or maybe you need glory, or maybe you need blessings. All of these things were given to Jesus when he was obedient on the cross. He was slain to receive the riches of God. And he's my big brother and yours. And when we come to him by faith and we look back at the cross, we say, "Lord, everything that I lack, you got at the cross." Hallelujah. Everything I need, you have. And you have it in rich abundance. My sins, my weaknesses, my fears, my poverty can never bankrupt the riches of God in Jesus Christ, my Lord. And so I come to him. I come to him this morning in faith and assurance that he truly is rich in all that I need. Praise God, praise God. Rich in all that I need. Let's pray. So, Lord, having surveyed the glorious riches of your grace and mercy, this morning we come to you with confident assurance that our needs are not greater than your resources. That on a dock in heaven, you have my supply of my needs. That on a dock in heaven, you have the supply of every person here, whatever it may be. Maybe it's loneliness. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's depression. Maybe it really is physical needs. Maybe it's food or clothing or shelter. Whatever it is, Lord, we are confident that the God we serve, the riches that he has in heaven for us, is sufficient to meet all of our needs and to carry us into that glorious appearing with him in heaven soon and very soon. So, Lord, we repent of any doubt, any fear, and any unbelief that our sins are greater than your mercy. We repent of any doubt and any fear and any unbelief that you don't care. For you see a little robin when he falls. And Lord, the things you have prepared for us, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered in the hearts of men, the things that you have prepared for those that love you. And we love you this morning, Lord. So forgive us of our doubts, our fears, and our unbeliefs. And as we go through the coming week, help us remember just how rich we are through your riches of mercy and grace and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Whatever you want to sing, Nola.
Lord, you are more.
God bless you. Give someone a hug before you go.